War has broken out in the Middle East, but stocks rallied and bonds are holding stable. I'm Graham Summers, and this is Bulls, Bears, and BS. Welcome back to Bulls, Bears, and BS. I'm Graham Summers, Chief Market Strategist for Phoenix Capital Research, and today is Tuesday, October 10th, 2023. The biggest development occurred over the weekend in the form of geopolitical conflict in the Middle East. I am not going to be talking about this because, quite frankly, I don't know what I'm talking about. I can certainly name the countries involved and give a broad outline of what's happening, but so can a million other people, and I don't have any kind of special insight on this. I'm not an expert, so I'm staying in my lane. And honestly, it'd be much better for most of us if everyone did the same thing. The reality is that if you listen to anyone talking about the Middle East right now, it's highly likely they have no idea what they're talking about. You see this stuff on social media all the time. People whose jobs it is to focus on the markets will suddenly become super experts on Ukraine, or super experts on COVID, or super experts on any number of things that really are well outside their wheelhouse. Now, I'm not saying that analysis has no real value, but what I am saying is that if you don't have any real special insight to present, then what are you doing talking and filling up the air with your thoughts? And you could say this about pretty much anyone for most things these days, because the reality is people are very intellectually lazy. Let's take the situation in the Middle East right now. Before you listen to anyone talking about it, ask yourself, can this person find these countries on a map? Can this person tell who the current leaders of those respective countries are? Does this person know what form of government these countries have? Is it a parliament? Is it Congress? Is it a theocracy or something else? If the person can't answer all of those with a resounding yes as to their insights, then there's really no reason to listen to anything they have to say. It's very simple. If they're too lazy to spend 5 minutes learning the very basics, why waste your time listening to what they have to say? And I'm applying this to myself as well. I am not an expert on the Middle East. I know Israel's involved, I know Palestine's involved, and I know that there's a big conflict. That's about as far as I can go with this, and I have no value to add to it. So I'm going to stay in my lane and simply focus on the markets. The big development yesterday was that everything that initially happened reversed. Stocks initially sold off on the news of conflict in the Middle East, but they bounced hard, and they actually closed the day out at the highs. Now, it's tempting to look at this and say, well, this indicates that the conflict in the Middle East won't somehow expand or become a big problem. But the reality is that the bond market was closed yesterday, and most of what's happening these days in risk assets is dictated by bonds. Bonds are the reason why the stock market topped in March of 2022. They're the reason why the stock market bottomed in October of 2022. And most of what's happening in bonds has dictated what stocks have done ever since. The reason for this is because the big picture for our financial system is that the 40-year secular bull market in bonds from 1982 to 2022 has ended, and we're now in a high interest rate regime. What this means is that for the last 40 years, up until 2022, when the bull market in bonds ended, there was one massive macro theme that was dictating everything, and that was the fact that bonds were in a secular bull market, which means that bond yields were falling over that 40-year period. From a macro perspective, this meant that it was becoming ever increasingly cheaper to issue debt and to finance debt payments. From a sort of investment perspective, it means that an entire generation of investment professionals, bank executives, and others have had their entire careers in a low interest rate or ever falling interest rate environment. You're starting to see some of the issues related to this with what's going on in regional banking earlier in this year. A lot of bank executives have been caught off sides because they simply did not believe that interest rates were going to remain high. They thought indeed that inflation was transitory, or that it would somehow just go away, or that the Fed would be able to stomp it out quite quickly. And as a result of this, these bank executives did not hedge their interest rate risk on their large assets and loan portfolios, and they ended up sitting on hundreds of billions of dollars of unrealized losses, which is why we saw Silicon Valley Bank, First Republic Bank, and a number of other banks go under earlier this year. So I'm not trying to sort of pounce on these people. My point is just simply the big defining theme for the markets and investing for 40 years has ended, and many people have been caught off sides by this. And that's why I've been ever increasingly focused on bonds the last 2 years, because the bond market has entered a new regime where it suddenly matters. And this draws back to something I talked about last week, which is that at any given time, the stock market is trying to digest billions of pieces of information. However, at any given time, there's really only one or two things that stocks care about. And those one or two things are changing all the time. Sometimes it's what a president says or tweets. Other times it's what the Fed's doing. Other times it's what the economy's doing. And that's one of the biggest myths, that somehow the economy and the stock market are tied at the hip. There are times when the stock market doesn't care at all about the economy, and there's times when the stock market cares a great deal about the economy. And this is why investing's so tricky if you want to become someone who's an active investor, who's really following the markets and trying to outperform them, is that at any given time, the market's really only caring about one or two things out of the millions of things that are happening, and those one or two things are always changing. So based on all of this, and looking at what the market did yesterday, you could potentially argue that the stock market isn't too concerned about what's happening in the Middle East, but again, the bond market was closed, so the asset that's been sort of dictating policy for stocks in the last 2 years wasn't really actively moving. So we need to see what bonds do this week. Typically, war is inflationary because it involves spending additional money. It tends to have an effect on commodities because as a war machine ramps up, there's greater demand for commodities. So those are areas of the markets to keep an eye on for signs of whether or not the conflict in the Middle East is going to expand into something else. But again, these things can be tricky. When Russia invaded Ukraine early last year, oil and many commodities initially spiked quite higher. And people looked at this to say this is a sign that the conflict's going to be quite dramatic. But then commodities and oil reversed quite a lot. In fact, that was the actual top for oil. I believe it topped between March and May of 2022, around $130 a barrel. And it subsequently fell down to $70 a barrel over the course of the next 12 months. And meanwhile, the conflict between Russia and the Ukraine continued. So again, this is why investing isn't something that you can really teach in a book. The books and the frameworks provide some basis. But if everything was so simple that all you had to do was memorize a few little rules, then we'd all be billionaires. And that's not how this works. The markets are ever dynamic, ever changing, and it takes a lot of effort to be reading them correctly. And everyone gets things wrong, which is another myth we need to dispel. This idea that somehow someone is an expert on everything and is like this master of the universe and is never wrong and always on top of what's happening is a complete and utter myth. What you will find the more time you spend in investing is that there are people who figure out what works for them, and they focus almost exclusively on that, and they steer clear of anything that isn't that. And that's how they get rich from the markets. The people who just go from thing to thing to thing, saying, oh, I know how to trade COVID perfectly, and then I know how to trade bonds perfectly, and now I know how to trade the Middle Eastern conflict perfectly, are just liars. If they had to actually rely on their ability to trade, they'd all be homeless. And I'm saying this not out of some kind of like nastiness in my heart. It's just a fact. If you think about it, there's a reason why doctors and other highly skilled professionals all specialize in a specific thing. It's a similar reason to why you see that with most major professions where you can make a lot of money. And the markets are no different. The fact that it's easy to open a brokerage account and start investing doesn't mean that it's easier to make money in stocks than it is at being a doctor or a lawyer. If you want to be an active trader or someone who actually makes significant money from your investments in the near term, you're going to have to put in the work and the effort just like a doctor or lawyer did going to med school or law school before joining a practice. So I'm going to put my soapbox away, but I'm simply trying to make a big point here, which is that the idea that there are these people that are masters of the universe who are never wrong is a myth. The legends themselves get things wrong all the time. Warren Buffett, George Soros, all of them have lost literally billions of dollars being wrong. Buffett made the vast bulk of his fortune from about a dozen companies, and he's made literally hundreds of investments in the course of his career. The greatest traders alive today are only right about two-thirds of the time, which means a third of the time they're dead wrong. So again, the reason why these guys make a lot of money is primarily because they play to their strengths, they downplay their weaknesses, they focus on what works for them, and they ignore almost everything else. And I would suggest that to anybody who's interested in getting more actively involved in the markets. So what do we need to keep an eye on this week? Well, my focus is primarily going to be on the bond market, because in the last 2 weeks, things were really getting dangerous there. The yields on multiple treasuries were getting to the point at which something major was about to break. The yield on the 10-year U.S. Treasury had spiked up to the range of 4.7 to 4.8%, which if you look at a very long-term monthly chart of that bond yield, you'll see that those are kind of the last lines in the sand before things start really falling apart. If the yield on the 10-year U.S. Treasury spikes above 4.8%, there isn't really any major overhead resistance until you get to 5.25%, and then after that, you're up into the mid-fives, and that's when you're going to see absolute panic in the risk asset world. So again, that's the thing I'm keeping an eye on the most, is I want to see how the yield on the 10-year U.S. Treasury trades this week. I want to see if it stabilizes under 4.8% or if it breaks higher and stays there. It's okay to see it spike a little bit higher in the intraday market, but if it closes there or if it breaks above and stays there, then we need to be really concerned, specifically for stock. Why? Because again, the yield on U.S. Treasuries represents the risk-free rate of return against which all risk assets, including stocks, are priced. And the yield on the 10-year U.S. Treasury was stabilizing for much of the last summer, but then began to spike quite aggressively in September. And this spike meant that stocks were going to be repriced at a lower forward earnings multiple. Between 2020 and 2022, when the Fed had rates at 0% and the bond market had extremely low yields, investors were willing to pay 20 or 22 times forward earnings for the growth they got from stocks. But now that yields on treasuries are at 5% on the near-term end, 5.5% in the two-year, and they're all the way almost to 5% on the 10-year, well, then you can make quite a lot of money risk-free with treasuries, and so the onus is on stocks. If there isn't a lot more growth from stocks, then why would you risk your money there? And this has become the problem for the stock market, is given the fact that yields are much higher than they were previously, what is an adequate or correct forward earnings multiple against which to price the stock market? Once the Fed started raising rates, it looked as though the stock market was going to be priced between 16 and 18 times forward earnings. But once the Fed in March of 2023 moved to backstop the regional banking crisis, we got this kind of mini bubble where stocks detached from bonds and they started trading at 19 times forward earnings, which is an absurdly high valuation if you consider the fact that bond yields were up near 5% at the time on the two-year. So again, this is sort of the big picture world we're in now. We're in a high interest rate regime that changes how stocks are being priced. It puts the onus on stocks in terms of producing growth to justify you putting your money into a higher risk asset class. And again, if the yield on the 10-year U.S. Treasury goes above 4.8% and stays there, then we're probably going to see a nasty sell-off in stocks. And the big concern there is what happens if stocks begin to sell off and bonds don't rally? Because historically, during crises, you've seen the stock market collapse, but bonds have been a hedge against that. Now that bonds are no longer in a bull market, we're seeing times in which both stocks and bonds sell off together. And so therefore, the only real hedge you can have against a major market downturn is cash. So again, I guess the big picture thing I'm trying to say here is that from a macro perspective, the bull market in stock bonds has ended. And consequently, things have become a lot more complicated. The traditional 60-40 stock bond portfolio no longer works as effectively during downturns. And in fact, cash is really the only successful hedge you can have if we start to see risk assets sell off. So things have become a lot more complicated. What was really simple from 1982 to 2022 is over, and we're in a much more complicated, difficult world. And if you want to be really active in the market, you're going to have to be really paying a lot of attention to figure out what it is stocks are focusing on at any given time. That's all I've got for you this week. I wish you all best of luck in the markets, and I hope your loved ones and family are all safe during this time of increased conflict. I'm Graham Summers, and this is Bulls, Bears, and BS.